Catherine Condon studied distillation as part of her degree in chemical engineering. But as her finals approached, she wasn't sure what she wanted to do.
You know, I loved chemistry and maths and sciences and stuff, but I didn't want to work in a lab as such. I wanted to be able to apply what you can learn through the sciences to real life practices.
It was during an end of term visit to Irish distillers Middleton Distillery where things suddenly fell into place. Catherine saw a huge gleaming thing of beauty and craftsmanship that made the science she'd studied at university come alive.
Just to describe a pot still to someone who has never seen one before, it's like a gigantic kettle or a cauldron made out of copper. And I'm talking about a kettle that would fit 80,000 litres in it. So these were really, really big pieces of equipment.
Richard Forsyth's company built the copper pot stills that captivated Catherine that day. Richard is the chairman of Forsyth's, and he's been working with copper pot stills for over 50 years.
It's more than a trade, actually. It's like a craft. There's still a bit of craftsmanship in it. A lot of craftsmanship in it, actually.
In this episode of A Perfect Blend, we're following the curious paths taken by a chemical engineer and the chairman of the largest copperworks in the world. We'll then introduce them to each other for the very first time and explore their shared passion for the magic of the copper pot still.
The craft that was involved in shaping a pot still completely out of copper sheets and the hard work that was involved in creating something so beautiful.
I'm Julian Clancy, the host of A Perfect Blend, a four-part mini-series from Irish Distillers. In each episode, we'll speak to creators and craftspeople in the world of Irish whiskey whose work is interwoven with partners across the globe. And through their eyes, discover the power of collaboration. Episode 2, Distilled Wisdom. For Richard Forsyth, the chairman of the biggest copperworks in the world, his roots into working with copper and distillation began at a very young age.
As kids, we used to run around the copper shop, and there was loads of things to interest you. You know, the power hammers, for example, they had to sit over huge pits in the ground. And we used to get lots of fun running around there. So, I mean, you were doing that, actually, 7, 8 years old.
One of Richard's first jobs was to make the copper webbing that was used inside the pot stills to keep them clean.
I remember going home to my mother at night with great big blisters in my hand, cutting webs all day with a hacksaw.
For distiller Catherine Condon, her early years were spent outdoors in the countryside, helping out on the family farm in Ballinascarthy near Middleton.
My grandparents used to supply to the local country market in Bandon every week, and they used to grow a lot of produce in the farm, and my grandmother was an excellent baker. People would always ask for her brown bread or her scones, and it just made me realise, you know, the importance of good quality produce and how people kept coming back for something that they enjoyed. And that's really stuck with me, I suppose, even in what I do right now. Quality is just so important.
Catherine has tried to replicate her grandmother's famous brown bread, but hasn't quite succeeded yet. But even from that very early age, Catherine was fascinated with how things were made.
I suppose going to school, I loved maths, and then maths and music, I guess. And when I moved to secondary school, I started to really enjoy the science subjects like chemistry and biology and maths as well.
In secondary school, Catherine was introduced to organic chemistry and one of the fundamental scientific techniques that's come to define her career, distillation.
I'm sure a lot of people who would have done science even for the junior cert can relate to, you know, your Bunsen burner is heating up your round bottom flask and you've got some alcohol inside there, and then the alcohol, because it boils at a lower boiling point than water, boils off first and gets condensed, and then you collect that in your collection flask. it's the basics of distillation, and that doesn't change. It's the exact same as what we do here on site.
When Richard was the same age as Catherine, his first experience with distillation was slightly more hands-on.
I often akin it to a pan of porridge. You've got oats and everything in a pan of porridge, and because it's being direct fired, you've got to keep stirring it. These fires, incidentally, were about, 1,000 degrees C, so it was very important to keep it clean. You had gearing, dragged copper chains round the pot still, and it was just to keep it from burning. Like stirring the pan to stop it from burning.
When it came to choosing a career, Richard had no doubt in his mind that his future lay with the family business.
I actually came into the picture in the late 60s. I left school when I was 16 years old. I wasn't a great school lover, to be fair. But in January 1968, I actually officially started serving my time as an apprentice coppersmith.
To be a coppersmith, it's still mostly done by hand, by sight, and even by touch and feel.
Take a swan neck, for example. A swan neck's a very prominent part of the pot still. It's made in four sections, two sides, a back and a belly, as we call them. Now, it's a very, very difficult shape to make from a flat piece of plate. As you can imagine, when we beat these things into shape, it's a bit lumpy, if you like. And when we hammer it, it puts a sheen on the copper, it puts a smooth finish on the copper, plus it strengthens up the whole piece.
When it was Catherine's turn to decide on her career, she knew that she wanted to work in science. But at the same time, she wanted to be out in the world and not stuck in a lab. So she chose a new course at UCC called Process and Chemical Engineering.
It allowed you to use science to apply it to everyday life. So if you think of it, any process in the world needs science and engineering. If it's making chocolate, or if you're making perfume, or if you're simply cleaning water up for potable use, this all requires applications based on science. And I think that's what drew me to the course.
When it came to Catherine's final year, most people were preparing to go into the pharmaceutical industry. And during that final year, Catherine was invited by Irish Distillers to join a tour of the distillery at Midleton. And that's when everything changed.
So during the tour, we walked through the old Jemison Distillery, and there I saw beautiful old buildings and beautiful old walkways, and through the history and the heritage of the distillery. And then we walked up onto the main distillery, and when we rounded a corner in front of me, I saw these massive copper pot stills inside in a still house. And I just remember thinking the amount of copper just sitting inside there, and the reactions taking place, and all those, classes I had in school came rushing back to me when, you played with a Bunsen burner, a round bottom flask, and the Liebig condenser. That I was seeing that right in front of me on such a larger scale. It's a global brand with a local feel, and it was happening just down the road in Midleton, and I immediately just fell in love with the distillery, and I knew I could apply what I had learnt in college to the distillery.
For Richard Forsyth, one of the biggest changes in his career came when he eventually swapped the factory floor for the boardroom and began to get involved in the actual running of the family business.
You are now dealing with distillery company directors and chief engineers. You're not only looking at how you made a pot still, but you were looking at the finances of it. Your mindset changed altogether. And that was quite an exciting time for me as well.
Richard has overseen the expansion of the business into the giant Forsyth's is today. They've made the biggest pot stills in the world and continue to supply to distilleries right across the globe.
The satisfaction of seeing that finished article There is so much satisfaction in it, it's unbelievable.
One of the last times that Richard Forsyth was at Middleton was to oversee the installation of the biggest pot still in the world. It was so big that it took 3 days for it to be shipped by sea before arriving in Middleton late one Friday night.
I remember at the time the Christmas lights were up in Middleton as well, and we had to liaise with the council in Middleton to make sure that the pot stills would fit down the main street without affecting the Christmas lights.
Yeah, you know, it's quite a narrow lane up to the main entrance to the distillery. Mm-hmm. And there was a car parked in the lane, and they couldn't find the driver for the car. So I think they did eventually find the guy and get the car shifted. But that was quite a nice story, actually.
I suppose, Richard, did you always want to work with copper? Did you always want to be a coppersmith?
I did indeed. It was in the blood. I mean, obviously, my father was running the copper shop. I was with him quite a lot. It was just so natural to be there. I couldn't wait to leave school to start my coppersmithing experience. I'll tell you what I liked about it was the variety. Maybe a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you were in the workshops making parts for copper stills. But Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you were actually out at the distilleries doing various types of repairs. And that's what kept the enjoyment within the job, actually.
Yeah. And did you get to travel around with your father a lot as a child? Did you get to visit lots of different distilleries?
Oh, yeah. And I loved that. That was another thing. That's another story. I remember Dormore Distillery, which is about 20 miles from Rothes. They phoned our house one Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, to say that they had a leak in a still and they needed a coppersmith right away. My father, he'd been out at a distillery dinner dance the night before, on the Saturday night. And he'd quite a late night. So he says, right, we'll have to get out to this still. He says, but you'd better drive because I can't. So I had to drive him to the distillery in the Sunday morning. And what would happen was he was offered a dram after the repair was done. So I had to drive home again as well. and that's the sort of things I really loved, you know. And it happened. Of course, there was no other cars on the road at that time.
And did your father let you help with the repairs as well?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was very hands-on. I mean, my grandfather was a time-served coppersmith. My father was a time-served coppersmith. I'm a time-served coppersmith. My son Richard's got a more educated background, but at least he's got some practical stuff behind him as well.
Richard, one element I heard about when you're producing a pot still is that you have one person inside the pot still and another person outside, and they're working in tandem to create the pot still. Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how that actually works?
When we're welding a pot still, you need to have a man outside and a man inside to weld the seam. And once the seam is welded, you need a man inside with an anvil and a man outside hammering onto the anvil. So, as I say, it's all about teamwork.
How do you know that the person on the outside is at the exact same point as the person on the inside? Because I'm sure they can't see each other.
Yeah, it's a good question, Catherine, because they do go out of sync. Besides just shouting at each other, we do actually develop it in the workshop, but you can rattle the hammer in different tune if you like. One type of rattle would be to go back, a different rattle would be to move forward, and that's why they work so closely. It is team efforts.
I remember hearing before that before we used equipment like ultrasonic equipment to test the thickness of the metal, coppersmiths like yourself would actually know by banging a hammer on the pot still and listening to the sound.
Yeah, that is very true. one of our main jobs, even back in my father's day, one of the main jobs was checking the copper thickness, and they would know by the ring of the copper or the dull thud of the copper.
Mm-hmm.
And you, the reading on the ultrasonic, and sure enough, you would find very low readings in the thickness. So there was a measure of accuracy with the tapping hammer as well.
Mm-hmm. It just goes to show the importance of one's senses,
yeah,
in the craft. And we see that here at the distillery as well. You know, you have to be listening to different types of pumps and machinery, and some of the operators that have been here for a long number of years, they'll know by entering into a building if there's something wrong, and it's because of the sound and the sounds that they're used to hearing all those years. You know, it just goes to show the importance, like what you just said as well, the sound of the hammer.
It's very true. I mean, some of these old guys, they can smell something wrong, and sometimes they hear something wrong. It's just years of experience. So, Catherine, you started off life with Irish Distillers in the pilot plant, as we would call it. I mean, Catherine, how physical is it? Are you just turning a valve handle now, or how physical do you get?
Yeah, well, I suppose the fact that there's no automation down there, you have to be up and around the pot stills at all times, you know, checking temperatures on temperature probes, pressure gauges. So it's still quite physical. You're not sitting down and watching the distillation take place from a chair.
And I think that is very important, because if you learn it manually and you have to go and physically open valves and watch the wash going up the head, you will remember that. It's too easy to sit and watch a screen and a control panel. I think you need to know the basics first.
Yeah, well, I suppose seeing the boiling in a pot still, and you see the four shots coming through for the first time of the distillation. But for me, working with the team here in Middleton is really rewarding. It's brilliant to be able to work with like-minded people who are very passionate for what we do, and who appreciate the craft and the skill and the pride that people have in their jobs here. That's something that I find really rewarding. So, Richard, what would you say is the most satisfying part of your role today, and what do you find most rewarding?
Well, working with different people is always high up the list. And that's why I think life is all about, quite honestly. We get such a variety of people we work with. I tell you what I like to do is, and I often do, is I'll walk through the workshops, and there'll be a young guy beating hell out of a bit of copper, and you know, I'll pull the hammer out of his hand, and I'll hit it for about 5 seconds, and hand the hammer back very quickly. I know my time is spent. But I do like to have a go. It brings back good memories.
A huge thank you has to go to Catherine Condon and Richard Forsyth for being our guests on episode 2 of A Perfect Blend. Recording in this episode in Rough in Scotland was carried out by Tom Duncan from Northport Studio. On the next episode of A Perfect Blend, we'll look to the future, to the importance of sustainability and doing things the right way when it comes to making the whiskey barrels of tomorrow.
It's about taking out the right trees at the right time to allow for that forest to flourish.
I'm Julian Clancy, the host of A Perfect Blend. You can listen back to all 4 episodes now on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Always drink responsibly.